Donna, just admit the MLS is better than American football.
No.
Absolutely is, because American football was hand egg. And at that point, let's go. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Rant Football UK, the podcast where we sub the team in and out. Some get upset, while others don't care. But it's just a pub setting where we talk about football, bring debates up, and, you know, we agree and disagree. But as I said, the ones that are here today have missed before and they haven't cried about. And the ones who ain't here, maybe be at home crying, but they probably won't listen anyway. So, Andrew, hopefully you'll be back soon and you'll get over the strop. Right. Here we go, guys. So, yet again, I've got one I want to bring up straight away because it's been a bit of time. The international time, guys. The international games where we played three games in a bloody week for internationals with COVID going on and a season of football when it's 5 weeks shorter than it's ever, ever been. My opinion, the most stupidest thing I've ever seen, that stupid cup we play in Europe doesn't need it. All we need is European Cup qualifiers and World Cup qualifiers. That stupid two-ball cup should have pissed off last year. It was rubbish and no one really cares about it. It's just UEFA trying to make a bit of money for themselves and no one cares. So what are you thinking about this, Paul?
Well, they're trying to make it like a meaningful tournament, aren't they, whatever it's called. But for me, that just makes it worse. If it's a meaningful tournament and players might go in for a bit more and they'll get in, the more chance they're going to get injured, which is ridiculous. And playing three in a week is just crazy as it is, especially, like you say, with a pandemic. They've not played three in a week before, so why do it now when this game's galore?
It's even weird, three in a week, and you've been made to travel as well. If you're going to do three in a week, have three in your
home. They've not had a pre-season, and it's just ridiculous.
It's the stupidest thing done again. Yet again, the idiot from your way for not knowing what they're doing. Gavin, what's your thoughts on it?
I don't like international football. Like you say, it should be just European qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers, like they used to be. Even in the old days when England used to be against Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, that used to be the qualifying group, and that were it. 2-0. Oh, dear.
People wonder what 2-0's about. I'm watching the MLS playoff game, and Orlando City are 2-0 down, but it's not good for me because that's my team.
Nobody cares.
Donna, being from America, where quite frankly no one cares about you, your country doesn't care about international football unless it's the women's team, because they don't lose, because unless they play 14-year-old boys, then they get smashed. But in women's football, you do dominate. So what do you think of international football?
Well, I personally like international football, but I don't like it this year. Let's put it this way. I follow England internationally. I don't follow the American internationally. We never qualified for the World Cup anyway. We didn't qualify last time. I think this time around, it's just dangerous because we're getting too many injuries. And then why don't we just not play internationally this go around and just wait and start in the year? Is my thought.
I get what you mean, but the biggest problem we've got is we've got a bloody European Cup in the summer.
Yeah,
I know.
Are they still following that stupid rule when they're going to have games in loads of different countries?
Well, yes. Paul and I were just talking about that, weren't we?
Yeah.
Because is it Scotland have qualified for it and they've got two games in Glasgow, one in Wembley?
Yeah.
So, but that's not the only bad point about it. The bad point is, there's a few games in England and there's a few games in Italy and Germany and everything. Yeah. I thought it was a pathetic idea anyway. It was a cop-out idea in the first place because truthfully, I just didn't want to give England the tournament.
They do it so they don't have to give us a tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I don't know why we have friendlies. I think the friendlies is the most asinine idea this year.
It's just a money-making thing, though, isn't it? Generally, to get the bums on seats and all the hospitality.
They haven't gotten anything, so the hospitality
still,
not even bothered.
They're contracted in with the TV companies, aren't they? So they've still got to fulfil their fixtures. It's not ideal.
Yeah, but we're not getting any TV coverage over here in America for the friendlies.
You're lucky.
I like international football, but it's just too much.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a money. I think it's tradition to have international football, regardless of pandemics or what's going on in the world. Yeah. And you take it away, and then people go, oh my God, we're taking something away again. Honestly, I think the friendlies can go out the door. We bypass this year, but then we have Dubai and we have Russia.
Yeah, but we have got a big problem.
I forgot about them.
Yeah, they've got a big problem because they've got the Euros next summer, and then obviously another season. And then it's a broken season the one after, because that's when the Dubai World Cup's happening in December.
That's right.
So November, December. And the players are all going to be knackered by then, aren't they?
There's going to be so many players injured. I'm not going to lie, when Ben Chilwell in them three games and the second game for England, he pretended he hurt his back, I was the happiest man alive, because I'm a club before country these days, and our club pays silly wages to these people. And quite frankly, I want to see them give them all to the club, and country comes second for me now. Oh, you patriotic people, piss off. I ain't got time for you. You probably don't even support a club. You're probably one of them people that supports three or four clubs already. You like a Crystal Palace, a Wolves, a Liverpool, and probably a Barcelona fan. So go and do one, you lot. We don't care about you anymore. Simon, we never got to you, but we'll see what you think.
It's part of the game, but to have three games in 7 days is just absolutely stupid. Three games in 9 days, yeah, you can get away with that, because 1, 5, and 9. But with the compaction of this season and all players getting injured, the fatigue, and it's just stupid. If we had one qualifier, fine. Just put in the one qualifier over the 9 days, do that. But to have two friendlies in the middle of it.
Yeah, in all fairness, if they did it for 7 days, had one qualifier, I could handle that with the squad staying together as well. So they could be together for most of the week, training, drills. You could have inside 7-a-side matches against each other. You could have a massive squad of 45 people and do a few 11 sides with people who are never going to get into your international side, but they come and join in, and you can have behind the door silly friendly. No one takes too seriously, and there's no cameras there. That's fine, but this absolute, oh, let's play three games and let's make
the other thing with a friendly is it's like you play one half and then you completely change the whole team for the next second half.
They're the point.
But what's the point? Like,
yeah,
but you're not getting any consistency with a team, are you? You're just giving some young lads a cap, giving the seniors their extra cap, and then you get players who are getting 100-odd caps, and you get these young kids who are getting one or two, just to see how they do. If they're not doing it in the Premier League and they're not doing it in a Championship, because technically I think there should be some Championship. That's another thing. I think Championship players should be looked at as well for the England squads at least. But when it comes to them playing, let them play if they want to play, but don't force all these games in just to make the games seem like it's worth it. Yeah, we had a qualifier. Play the qualifier. That's it. That's all you need to do.
You've got that as well, though. The people that are playing in England and then flying over to South America or America or wherever, you know, Africa, and then not even getting a full game and then having to come back, maybe getting caught with COVID and all that malarkey and going out with that.
There's a few teams have suffered with it. Liverpool suffered with it badly, quite a few injuries, and Mo Salah missing because of catching COVID.
Mo Salah is totally different. He deserved that. He went to a family wedding. He knew what was going on. That's his fault. No,
well, I didn't know about that. So
if he wouldn't have been over there, he wouldn't have been able to go, would he? So he had that excuse, and then the stupidity of going.
Yeah, but he's meant to be one of the best flag players in the world right now, playing for one of the biggest teams. He is meant to be a leader, and he just went, stuff this, I'm going. I've got no time for people like that.
Well, he can be
personally,
a good player.
We all know he wasn't ill from it. He probably just had a cold. But the sheer fact is, he couldn't play, and that could have costed Liverpool games. So really, he's got to think, he's got to be a better man than that himself. The money he's on, he can't be doing stupid things like that. I know it's family, and I do normally think family first, but at this point, he's meant to be playing professional football. He's over there to play football. He took the piss. End of.
Yeah, he did. But it worked out for Liverpool in the end. They had all them injuries, he had him missing, and they came back stronger than they did before. So
not until he came back against Brighton.
Well,
he's not
Before I get into that, I want to get into Gareth Southgate, guys, internationals. But stay with internationals. because we were segueing away from what we were talking about originally. Gareth Southgate, everyone's opinion, is he the right man to lead this young, good England squad to winning trophies?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? I think he's got some good ideas, but he just needs to be a bit more flexible with his choices.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's got the capability, but I don't think he'll win trophies. I don't think he's got the
experience. Yeah,
I don't think he's got the experience yet to pull it out when he needs to. Right. Get these young kids motivated to win a game.
I don't think he's right. He came in. He came in. He was a breath of fresh air. He had the guts to drop the people he thought wasn't good enough. And it looked great for England. But in that last World Cup, he started, and it started then with Harry Kane, who was not fit, especially that semi-final. He'd started to choose his favourites and people he thought should have done it. I personally think he's too soft and he wants to keep everyone happy now. He's turned into that manager. He's got comfortable. I don't think he's good enough. I think an experienced manager, yet again, I always bring this name up, a Pochettino, someone like that, with that young squad of players, would turn that England team around. I don't think Southgate's good enough. He was rubbish at Middlesbrough. It's like everyone's forgot how bad he is. He had a few games when he took over an England team. Yes, he did well. But arguably, that England team should have been in the final. And the questions have got to be asked about his tactics in the semi-final. And against teams like Belgium, he's been outscored and outwitted by an average manager in the Premier League, Mahrez, every single time. It's not so much that England are terrible under him, because they do play some okay football. They have a lot of the ball, but to me, there is no plan B. If he can't find a way through a defence, he can't think of a plan B. And I've always thought that Southgate's downfall. England need a manager with a bit more experience with his young lads to say, I'm going to take you to that next level now. Look at Tottenham. Pochettino did a good job. You look at this season, you think to yourself, Jose's doing something there. They're boring now. They're parking the bus. But Jose is a winner. And if England really want to win a tournament, England need a winner. Yeah. Look at Eriksen. He was never a winner. He was a softie as well. And that squad should have won stuff. So you've got to look at the managers and think, at this point, England's young squad, does it need a winner in there now to take over? Who it can be, I'm not too sure. But quite frankly, I know he's Scottish, but Brendan Rodgers wouldn't be a bad manager either for that squad. But he's not going to leave Leicester right now.
I think you should go to Gavin, because I think Gavin's got something to say as well.
Okay. Go to Gavin.
Didn't Gareth Southgate, you be the under-21 manager?
Yeah, he did.
And
well,
did he get to the world final?
If you look at under-21 managers, loads of them even before Southgate have done well with England. That England have always been good at under-21s. Our players mature faster, it seems, until they get to proper men's level. And then it all goes ping-pong.
You only get two or three of them in that entire squad that actually do anything afterwards. When you were going back to the Belgium manager, what was he called?
Martinez.
He's took Belgium from what, mid-teens, early 20th ranking to number one in the world. He's not doing that bad.
He's also lucky he's got
the best players at the
he's
moment.
He's got a better squad in England and he's got some of the best players in the world. But yet again, you look at them as well. That squad should be winning tournaments. They should have won that last World Cup over France and everyone. So, yet again, is that down to not being a good enough coach, manager, whatever you want to call them?
Using your players correctly. As a coach, you recognise who your players are and go, right, well, I've got to play him like that. He's got to play like that. And that's what he's done with the Belgian team. He's actually got them gelling correctly. Like a FIFA squad, because FIFA's great. Yeah, well, look at a FIFA squad and it all goes green everywhere. That's what he's done to the Belgian squad. He's made them green. You won't understand, Phil. I don't play
that rubbish game. I grew up.
You grew up making videos for YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube is for grown-ups. Little kids, if you're watching this, and it's not actually a YouTube show, it's a podcast.
Well, I think the biggest problem between international managers and club managers, club managers, I don't think it's a good idea to take a club manager and put him in an international team. I don't think it mixes very well. I don't know. I haven't seen a club manager do an international team very well. Name me one. Yeah.
Well, until he broke the law, Ryan Giggs weren't doing too much of a bad job. But
you can't take a club manager like Jose, right?
Scolari did amazing with Brazil.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho?
No, Scolari. Probably before your time in football, ex-Brazilian manager, ex-Chelsea manager as well.
Bobby Robson.
Yep. Oh,
okay.
Harry Venables even did a great job with England.
Well, I was going to say Big Sam.
Yeah,
100% record.
He was 100% record. It doesn't matter if he played just one game. If he managed just one game.
Well, Big Sam's on his way to Burnley, I think, anyway. So.
Well,
that is a poison choice, that club.
Well, I think it's Burnley or Fulham. One of them three clubs, or even Sheffield United, one of them three clubs, I think, is going to have Big Sam in by end of January. I'm saying it here. They just want a saviour, and Big Sam, don't know how he does it, don't know what he does, but for some reason, Big Sam, get him in, he stops your club going down. I don't know how he does it, don't know what he does, but somehow he does it. And he's done it. I don't know whether he's 100% record on doing it, but I'm pretty sure he's not far off.
He does it more often than he doesn't.
Yeah.
He can talk Bolton down in the end, but he does do a good job.
Yeah, he stayed there too long, that's why. But.
Look what he did for five seasons at Bolton.
Yeah.
They went to league football, European football.
That's a great.
They're on a five-game winning streak at the moment. They're starting to get back into it, but that's in League Two, so don't worry about it.
And they've also got Crawley in the FA Cup.
Yeah, see, they won again, yeah.
The FA Cup? I thought it was a Boxing Day game, League Two.
Oh, there's two. I don't know, mate. I don't care, actually.
When you said that
to me, mate, I just presumed it was the FA Cup because the FA Cup was played in the weekend. No, that's how much notice I take of small little clubs. Like,
it was Boxing Day, and if it was at Bolton, I was going to go, but obviously we're in Tier 3, so we won't get any teams. We won't be allowed going anyway. But
10 years ago, Charleston were on ESPN, Gavin, and now they've been missing a bloody season because of Rona.
Well, we had Ives United last year, didn't we, on the FA Cup on BBC?
Yeah.
Well, talk about FA Cup, there's three non-league teams in it, isn't there? In the third round draw.
What, round one?
Let's be truthful,
girl. We all know who's going to be in the FA Cup final. It's going to be between Man United, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea and Tottenham. One of them ones will be in it.
Usually it does whittle down to them, doesn't it?
Throw Wolves in there.
Quite frankly, as a Chelsea fan, after watching us play Tottenham's bus, when they defended very well, Tottenham are giving their dues. They did defend well, and that's how you get a point that could win the title. But if someone said to me now, Phil, you can win the FA Cup and finish third in the Premier League or win the Premier League, and I'd kick the FA Cup to the side now. I want that Premier League trophy back. It would be great to see Frank win it again. But anyway, let's move on again. Before we go any further, let's talk about Klopp the Strop.
I've still not watched the full interview. I started watching the first minute of it and I just cracked up laughing, and I thought, I can't listen to any more of this.
Good old Clippers, that is dummy out.
No, he's not happy, is he?
If people wonder what's going on, if they haven't seen this stuff, Tottenham and Brighton drew with VAR yet again being diabolical. The right, but yet again, a toenail was offside and I'm sick of that. But we're not going to go into that all the time because it's boring. So they had the 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday. Now, there's two sides to this. I get this. Big clubs who are in Europe and that are playing right now Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, you know, and Saturday or Sunday like that. So say Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, to be precise. And then they're getting playing again at 12:30. It is stupidity. There's other games you could put a Burnley Crystal Palace on at that time who don't play midweek. And you can just, apparently sports science, a couple of hours, 2 to 3 hours can make a massive difference to a player's fitness and recovery. So I see that side of it. But Klopp the Strop, as the BT man told you, you signed up for this before the season started. Stop moaning at BT Sport for it. Managers get together, get hold of the Premier League and actually do something about it yourselves instead of moaning to the TV. It's not going to get you anywhere. You're one of the best managers in the world with one of the best squads. So yet again, I see the other side. You should learn how to manage it. I do feel sorry for Liverpool right now. I hate the club. I actually don't really hate the club. I hate the fans, right? It's hard. They are injuries galore right now. But flip a coin, last season, they didn't really have any injuries. So it happens to every team at some point. There'll be injuries. It's how you handle it. And stropping on TV because you didn't get a win is not going to help your cause. It's going to do the opposite. If anything, BT and Sky, being childish they are, they want the big views. They're going to put you on at these stupid times in the future now to watch you strop again. But would he have stropped if they won the game?
But he could. No. Be doing what Fergie used to do. We're taking the pressure away from the players, because if it's all on him, I'm having a little soak and a whinge, then his players didn't play very well. So the attention will be on him and having a strop again.
I think Fergie was different. Fergie was a master at what he was doing, just like Jose. Klopp's not the same. Klopp does it all the bloody time. When he doesn't get a result his way, it's not just that interview. He always sulks. He had a sulk at Roy Keane, for example, earlier on in the season. He's a born winner, that's clear, but he's a very bad loser. He's got to learn from Jose, because when you get yourself upset, it can derail a season. So he's got to get his head back in the game and get to winning ways again. I think he's more upset because he drew that game and he also lost midweek in the Champions League. Let's be truthful. This is a bad run for Liverpool right now.
Yeah, but if they wouldn't have conceded, it was a penalty in the last minute, wasn't it?
It's a debatable one out of the two they had.
Yeah, but if they didn't concede the penalty and he didn't score in the last kick, though it's the last kick of the game, Klopp wouldn't have said a damn thing.
I totally agree.
I guarantee he would say, we didn't play best, we didn't play well, but we managed to scrape through a win. But then to go on, because he didn't get the 3 points, and he was not, because literally they interviewed him, what, within 5 minutes, 2 minutes of the game ending? He's going to be annoyed. He's going to vent. They should have just let him vent in the changing rooms with the players and then do the interview. I think that's that. He shouldn't really vent anyway, but he should at least give him time to let him get his thoughts before he does an interview.
Yeah, the offside goal was very harsh. He was offside by a toe. It's ridiculous, that rule now.
But the thing is, we know what VAR are doing. They know that these lines are being done. If it happens to you, it happens to you. It's happened a few times now. They're just going to have to accept it. They're not going to change their minds. They're not going to change it this season. They might change it next season. I know they changed the armpit rule, but they're not going to change the toenail rule now, because they've done it twice. It's going to be, that's, if your toenail's offside by a millimetre, it's offside. You're just going to have to get on with the life now. Change it next season. But when it comes to like changing the rule on the arm, like the handball rule now, it's about just below the shoulder.
Because we had one today, didn't we, the United game? That was a couple of weeks ago, that would have been given.
Bounced,
but it wasn't.
Bounced off the back of his shoulder 2 weeks ago, that would have been offside. It would have been a handball because moved the arm down. But that's another thing. They could change that rule for VAR, but they're stuck with the principles. They're using these triangle quadrants and these straight angles and right angles and all this crap.
Well, we could say
they're going to use it.
We could say that there's some fair change in that halfway through the season, because United have had a few penalties, as I'm sure other teams have, because of that handball rule. And even the allowing fans into the stadium, I'm happy about that. But you could say that's unfair as well, because you've got a bit of a split. Some teams are allowed, some teams aren't allowed.
Anyway, guys, we've gone off topic of Kloppster. So the Stropster. So Gavin, what's your thoughts on Klopp?
He's an arsehole. Basically. Yeah, it's all right last season. Everything's going for him. His big smile, all his teeth showing, because he's happy, because everything's going his way. Liverpool, every VAR decision went their way. Now, it's the other side of the coin. He's not liking it. It's like, well, sorry, mate, we had to deal with it last season. City got a goal disallowed from that much VAR from Jesus on Saturday. Didn't matter, we were 5-0 up.
Yeah.
We were 5-0 up by them anyway, but Yeah, he's now seeing the other side of it where, you know, it's going to go against you now because last season you got too many decisions for you and half of them weren't correct. And he's unlucky now. And like Simon says, you shouldn't go to a manager 2 minutes after the end of a game and talk to him.
I don't like VAR for one reason. This is just my opinions, not everyone else's in the show. I think VAR's there as well also for the Premier League like to have different champions. They've got their Liverpool's champions. Dare I say they'd like to see a Tottenham win it next, and we'll see if VAR goes their way this season mysteriously, if that happens. I'm not saying it's total match fixing going on, but you do have to ask the questions with things like that. VAR, I hate Henderson as well. I think he's a dipstick in football, but I agree with him as well. Get rid of VAR. Just scrap it. It's not working. Scrap it. We've got to sit down for the next this season, the season after, sit down, slowly bring it in. And what's not having on so much stuff? I mean, offsides, no. That's what the linesman's there for.
Yeah. Cracking linesman decision yesterday when City scored and it was an offside because the header came off another player's head and went in.
Same for
and
Werner.
Werner's
goal against Tottenham. It was a good goal. I was cheering, thinking it was in, and then obviously a normal player didn't say probably the linesman did. That's what they're there for. Help the linesman out. I'd rather go to what they did in the Champions League when you had two referees behind the goal as well. Have more officials.
They never seem to do anything, though. They do the Champions League one, just point the little wand every now and again.
Yeah, but in the Premier League, you know how they like all being superstars, the refs. I'm sure they'd all want to be involved at some point.
And I don't think that we've got enough referees to do that, qualified referees to do that. Whereas in Europe, you can pull referees from different leagues. But
I've always said with European football, if we can sort of deal out with Brexit and we can have European referees coming over. I personally think referees in every country in every league should swap their refs around.
Yeah.
Like the Champions League. I think it will improve the game because you're not going to have biased refs from your league who's there all the time. Bring some of the best refs in the world and let them officiate big games, not small games, leave the small games like Man United alone. Keep it with the big boys like Chelsea and Liverpool, Man City.
Wow.
Thank you for your contribution there, Donna. Anyway, before we go, we don't want to go too long today. So apparently Simon has a question for all of us today.
Yeah, it is football related and it's kind of Newcastle related as well. And it's modern day times. With the way Newcastle are at the moment without spending any money, do you think the owner, I know it's going off subject and not being football, do you think he should be allowed to buy other companies? If you don't know, Newcastle's looking at buying some more retail outlets because they're struggling. So think he should be allowed to do it when he's not investing in the companies he's already got? Because really, he's got Newcastle is a company.
Yeah.
He's not investing any money into it. He's taking the money left, right, centre because this is the argument there with Andrew. And now he's thinking about buying even more companies.
Do you know what? Can I be truthful? I love Newcastle, what he's doing with Newcastle.
Oh, you would.
Yeah, they're a club who could be massive and he's doing a great job in keeping them out of the way. And I love what he's doing. So keep it up, Mike. Stay for another 10 years.
So your question is, do you think your owners should buy other companies outside of the club?
No, what it is a millionaire tycoon.
Right.
He doesn't like football. He just bought the club to make money and that's what he's done. And he's not invested in it and now he's looking at buying even more retail companies. He bought Sports Direct. And now he's after buying most of the Arcadia group because they're struggling, which is like Top Man, Top Shop, and
Hansel Fraser
we bought the other year.
End of the day,
to do with football, but it's annoying.
If it can be proven he's not doing anything with Newcastle, then he should either A, have to sell it, or B, not be allowed to run another business until he can be shown he's actually running Newcastle as a business properly. Because he's not, like you say, he's not investing in it.
No.
He's just letting it run its course.
Well, he's overvalued it because he's valued it at 50 million and he won't sell it for less than that when it's only worth 350.
Donna wants to say something.
It depends, because I would say that it would depend on what is in the contract when he bought Newcastle. How much does he have to put back into the club, if any?
But he didn't have to put anything. He literally bought the whole club. He bought the stadium. He bought the players. Right. He bought everything.
So he bought everything. But when he bought it from whoever, did he have to put anything into it? If not, then he can run it into the ground. There's no thing by law that he has to put it in.
He didn't put anything into it. He literally made his company Sports Direct was struggling. So he changed the name to the Sports Direct Arena from the St. James's Park for advertising rights. So we got all that advertising money back into Sports Direct. Then he changed these other things and now he's changed it back to St. James's Park. Literally, he's used Newcastle Football Club to fund his other companies. There's no money being reinvested. And
I would imagine that someone could come in and buy it from him, right?
Well, that's what the whole point was, but then the FA stopped it because of this BN Sport.
No, it's not to do with BN Sport. It was to do with Saudi Arabia. BN Sport is a legit company. But yeah, Saudi Arabia, they are pirating Premier League games on things like IPTV, I'm guessing, but they're doing it literally to everyone in their own country. The people come in clearly rich. The morals of them people, quite frankly, I don't want them near the Premier League, them type of people personally, but as people, as businessmen, they would have been great for Newcastle. As people, they're arseholes.
I would have liked at least a third of the money.
It's shocking maybe that no one's bought them.
Well, then maybe the club should put on for business people who are buying these clubs, the multi tycoons like your club, Simon, maybe there should be something like a financial fair play where they just can't go in and buy just to buy. We're not talking about the players though. We're talking about if they're going to come in and buy Newcastle, then they have to come in and buy Newcastle. If they want to come in and buy Newcastle, then maybe they should come in and say we're going to put in 75% back into the company, back into the club.
Yeah, but it's all down to Mike Ashley selling it. Guys, he's going to sell it, but he won't sell enough. He won't sell it for too dear.
Talking about Newcastle, I've got a bit of a story here. Newcastle United fear mass COVID-19 outbreak among squad following two new positive tests. If it obviously gets out of control, Newcastle games will be called off. What could be an absolute mess for the Premier League.
Well, now you mention that though, I think it is a strange time because he's losing that much revenue, like a lot of clubs, all clubs are doing. So he's got to get the money back somewhere. You've got to try and keep the money flowing, keep the players paid.
But that's what I mean. If Newcastle did start to struggle, which fingers crossed are not because of the situation, should it be right for him to go out and buy another company instead of keeping the company he's got going?
But if he's buying that company to just try and get a bit more money in to keep his other businesses flowing, then, you know, it's a tricky one.
Let's just be truthful. That's what the owners at Man United do.
To take a lot of money out and
if Ollie went to them and said, I need 200 million to rebuild my club, they'll have a think about it. And possibly do it. With Mike Ashley, you go to him, you say, I want 50 million. No, you're not having it. And that's why that's why Rafa Benitez naffed off. He wanted 300 million to rebuild the whole squad, get him into Europe. He says, no, you're not having a penny. Here's 30 million. What did he go and do? They bought Almiron.
How did you bring Rafa up? Because I just thought about that. Donna, you're saying a manager who wouldn't be good enough for England if he's played done managers in football at clubs. Rafa would be.
Yeah, as soon as he said Rafa, I thought the same thing.
Rafa would be.
If we'd give Rafa 300 million and then we'd have had this pandemic like we did, you might have just gone under.
No.
The problem is, I think a lot of people seen what Chelsea did this summer. Chelsea were just pure luck. We sold players, we went on a transfer ban, we had all that money left. We had a massive influx of money because we changed sponsorship from Yokohama to Free Mobile. So Chelsea had that money sitting there. And the very big difference is, I hate to say it, Chelsea have a billionaire owner who hasn't spent much in the last few years, but when he wants to, he can flash the cash and he can support it. Mike Ashe, as you said, he can't flash the cash there. So the only way you're going to be able to do things is he can buy as many companies as he wants, as long as he's
able to do that. That's what my argument
But he
is,
doesn't though. Have to buy you £200 million worth of players.
But that's what Simon's argument is. That's what he's
trying to say. It's my question. Should he be able to, should he invest in
Newcastle? Personally, if he's got the money by law, he's allowed to, in my opinion. He can do what he wants with his own money. But it's a horrible thing what's happening to Newcastle because he won't invest in the club. Right, guys, we're going to get to the last thing now. And this is going to be a question for all you from me. We are 10 games into the season. Unbelievable, since it started in September. We're a quarter way through the season. Just tell me how you think your team's doing. So, Simon, as we've been talking about Newcastle, just as a team, not my category, please, how's it been doing?
Well, as a team, I think we're doing all right. Don't know how Steve Bruce is doing it with the squad we've got. Technically, yeah, with potential, as all teams say, with the potential as a club, we have a chance of being fighting potentially for the top half. We're currently sat in 13th because we dropped a little bit. But we're on 14 points after 10 games. I can't really ask for much more, to be honest. It's going well. It's pity some players are not getting what they're supposed to do. Joe Linton, Jesus Christ, three goals in 56 games. Jesus, supposed to be a striker. But Almiron's getting his pace up. He's creating things. Shelby's back again, fit, playing well. And Fraser's playing well, even though he's had a couple of injuries. You've got, and the star that is Wilson. He's come into the squad and scored a seven goals in 8 games, I think. So, yeah, I think we're going to be safe. Whether we can do any more than that, I don't think so. But Newcastle, I'm happy with the way they're going at the moment. They're ticking over. They'll get to the 30-point mark by, like I said, by March. And then just let the season fizzle out like it always does.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, then, Paul, how do you think United are doing?
Yeah, well, obviously, no team had a pre-season, so you do that as you're going along. And it took United quite a little while to get a bit of rhythm going. And we're still inconsistent, but they see Solskjaer does seem to be finding his best team now. He's put Van der Beek in. Cavani started to play well. So I think they'll be all right. I don't think they'll challenge anything, but you know, they'll push up to the top end of the season, maybe have a top end of the table, have a good run in a couple of cups maybe. So, yeah, I think they'll be all right, hopefully.
Okay, Gavin, let's get across to the other side of Manchester. Man City, I can imagine this is not going to be as good as you would like, but let's hear it.
Nowhere near. I don't know, something's lacking this season. I don't know what it is. I think it's either because we haven't had a forward line for so many games, because we do need to replace or have a replacement for Aguero. You can't just rely on one player. I don't know, there's sort of, It's not clicking this season. We should be higher than what we are. We only just about, well, we looked okay against Burnley the week before. Against Tottenham, we're non-existent. We're doing okay in Europe, but I don't know. There's something lacking in the squad that's not gelling like it normally does. So we'll just see what happens. Guardiola's signed a new contract. Is Messi going to come in? It's like,
but is Europe not his target now, though? Is that Champions League not the one that he wants? He's not bothered about the Premier League. He just wants that championship belt.
You have to be in the top four to get that championship belt, though. And if we keep on playing the way we're playing, we're not going to be in that top four.
Yeah, and then you get the top players. Right, Donna, from the US of A, give us your thoughts on the Red Devils Man United this season.
Well, like COVID. I'm not as optimistic as my counterparts. It's all right, Paul. I'm tired of saying we're in a rebuilding, because it's been rebuilding for a decade since we lost Fergie, but I think with Bruno, and you know, we just need to get rid of some dead weight. I like to think that we're going to finish probably mid-table, maybe.
I do it.
Guys, my PC went haywire, and you probably can't even see me on the screen. The whole thing's gone mad. Basically, Donna, I only got half your conversation, so if it's missing, I do apologise. But in quick words, what do you expect for the rest of the season, good or bad?
Mid. Just mediocre, or not mediocre, but it's not exciting. I don't know. We just need to get something going.
Fair enough. And that goes...
United and City are in the same boat. There's something missing in both teams. And if that jigsaw piece comes, then you'll see two totally different teams.
Yours was David Silva, wasn't it? And he's...
I agree with Gavin on that. That's exactly how I feel with United. City and United have the same issues right now. There's something missing.
Right, yeah, guys, let's get into Chelsea quickly. Let's get this over and done with for people, because they're probably bored of all of us now. Chelsea are, for me right now, they're overachieving. I think too many people are getting excited. I'm happy where we are. I think Mendy and Silva's made a massive difference to the defending side of the club, including Chilwell, you could say. Werner looks knackered and needs a rest. I think that's why he's missing so many chances. I just think his legs are gone on him. He's played almost every game. Frank's relying on him too much. I'm happy with the first 10 games. I'm not going to get overexcited yet. Talk to me just after January, and then I'll tell you what I really think. Are Chelsea in the title race at this moment? Yes. Will they be in it by the end of January? Maybe not. You're talking more Liverpool, Tottenham still, I say. And that's down to world-class managers with experience. I think Man City will be probably fighting Chelsea for third, if I'm truthful, to be honest. Anyway, everyone, let's end it there. I want to thank everyone who's listened. Thank the gang for being on here again. Yet again, follow us on Rant Football 1 on Twitter. Email us if you ever want to come on and have a rant with us at rantfootball1@gmail.com. Follow Simon on Twitter at Simon and Julie. Follow Donna at Donna Lane Cameron. And follow Paul on Paul David 28.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Spot 28 now, it was a long time ago.
You say, when did you make that up? About 30 years ago.
15, not that long. Not that long ago, 15.
And Gavin doesn't have it, unfortunately. But from all of us, if we're not back before Christmas yet again, have a happy holidays all, and we'll see you all soon.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Five-star review, people. Five-star reviews.
Yes, five-star reviews. See ya. Well, the full-time whistle has blown. Thank you for listening to another episode of Rant Football UK. If you enjoyed it, please go over to Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars and a nice little comment if you can. Also, check us out on Twitter at RantFootball1. If you'd like to come on with us and have a rant, email us at rantfootball1@gmail.com.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.